In my last year of high school, my world turned upside down. My sister got engaged to the wrong guy.
See, look at them. They don't even like each other.
My crazy grandmother moved in.
She's high.
Mother, are you smoking?
I had a little headache, but I'm feeling much better now.
My best friend lost her mind, among other things.
You're gonna let yourself turn into mush over something like sex?
Yeah.
My parents split up.
I hate Dad for doing this to us.
Life doesn't always work out the way you want it.
Someone toss, please. Now!
And then the worst thing of all happened.
Hi, Allie.
I met him.
When I ask you to go out with me this Friday night, you're gonna think you're the one asking me.
You wanna go out on a date with me?
I told you you'd ask me. You're gonna kiss me, Allie.
It doesn't make any sense, you falling in love.
We're just friends with benefits.
When you're growing up, the more you live,
people are flawed. People screw up. People love you, Allie, really love you. You can't even see it.
The more you learn how to deal.
Give me a hug.
With family. With friends.
Maybe it was a false reading. Strips didn't look completely pink. They were just kind of pinkish.
Five kids, Allie.
With love.
If you're ready to make the jump, then I'll be right here to catch you.
New Line Cinema presents Mandy Moore, Allison Janney, Peter Gallagher, and introducing Trent Ford.
Don't give up on me.
How to deal.
First loves are never really over.
Oh boy, do I have the munchies.
Big. The way you bite your lip, I fucking hate it, you fuck.
Welcome to Recap and Gown, the podcast where four old millennials talk about the high school and college movies from back in the day when we were high school and college students to find out what made the grade and what should have been held back. Representing the class of 03, I'm your co-host Crooks, joining me this week and every week. He sings like an angel and drinks like a fish, the class of 04's own Big Hearn, David Oscar Hernandez. What up, Dave?
Not much. I started watching that new History of the World.
Is it good? I haven't started it yet.
It's just... It's vignettes and the jokes are hit or miss.
Yeah.
There are things where I'm like, ha, awesome. And then it'll be another like 12, 15 minutes before I see anything that's worth watching. It's really, but if you like that kind of humor, because it's gags, it's goofs, it's just jokes. If you're into that and you like Mel Brooks, it's a lot of that style comedy. It's interesting.
I will say, if you're looking for a legit fantastic comedy recommendation, I got two and some change on Hulu. Extraordinary and Reboot are phenomenal. God
Reboot
damn
is good.
Extraordinary is good. I mean, Reboot is great. There were the pilot episode of Extraordinary starts off with one of the funniest scenes I've ever seen to open a show. Then there is a date in that first episode that had me lose my shit. There were so many moments. And then at the end, they almost had me crying. So I'm like, that show has so much heart and just, I mean, the world building is excellent. And Reboot, I mean, you know, come on. It's Keegan-Michael Key and Judy Greer together. You're not going to miss with that. And then annoying ass Paul Reiser with his terrible show ideas. And then lastly, I've felt like a bad black person for a while because I have not started watching Grand Crew. And then I started watching that this week and I'm like, yeah, it's not as good as the other two, but this is good enough to keep watching. So yeah, three comedy wrecks, you know, have at it. Flying Solo in the Lone Star State, this podcast chief change management and trivia correspondent from the class of 01, Dana Griffin. What up, Dana?
Not much. I can confirm on Extraordinary because we have started watching it. I do tend to fall asleep, but I still think it's really funny because I'm old and I can't stay awake ever.
I mean, you recall the date from that first episode, the guy with the power that, I mean, the way that they crafted all of the scenes, the two of them together. I mean, I'm not, no spoilers, but it was genius comedy writing.
I'll be honest with you, never heard of it. Never seen it.
It's some British.
I'm gonna at least watch the first scene that you're talking about.
The premise is essentially that everyone in the world gets some kind of a superpower on their 18th birthday, and this woman who is probably like late 20s has not gotten
25, 26 or something. She hasn't.
And is like the only person around that doesn't have powers. So everyone around her, and some of them are super great. People can fly and shit. And some of them are very specific and like mostly useless.
I think there was a Family Guy about that. Meg gets the nails that come out and nothing else, and everyone else becomes a superhero of some sort.
It is very similar to Meg letting her fingernails grow and retract at will.
There was one I was watching the other day where I think the principal at the school has like supersonic hearing. So he has those big like earmuffs on where so you can't, but he's still like in the mic going like, okay, the next person up to receive an award. And too loud.
There are some good ones. There's a guy that can turn anybody into or can turn anything into a PDF. Like it's a very specific skill that he's got, but yeah, watch Extraordinary. It's fucking great.
And then one more bit of it. There's a guy who can 3D print anything out of his butt.
Out of his butt. It takes a while. A
lot of effort.
Just like 3D printing does. It makes sense. No, you can 3D print, but it's not going to be any faster than a 3D printing machine.
Yeah, it takes a long time and it's gross. But
that's fair. Yeah.
Dana, what movie are we watching this week? Where can we get it and what is it about?
I forgot to update this part, but we are watching How to Deal. It came out in 2003, and it's rentable. I don't know. I rented it on Apple TV. I think you can rent it on Amazon.
That's right.
I didn't check any of like the Tubi, Pluto, whatever.
That's a Dave territory.
Yeah, I feel like it should have come
out. It's nowhere.
AMC theaters on demand.
This movie's pay only.
Pay
so
only.
Just pay. Okay. Be prepared to pay wherever. Yeah,
you gotta
pay up your $3 to watch this film.
Not worth it.
I want my $2. That's a movie we haven't done. What is it about? This is the synopsis via Rotten Tomatoes. I didn't read it, but as I was like putting it in, I was like, I don't think this is accurate. But let's go. For teenager Hallie, love seems like an alien concept. Her mother Lydia and father Len are divorced. Lydia doesn't date, and Len is now seeing a younger woman. Hallie's sister, Ashley, is about to get married and doesn't realize that her fiancé is not the man of her dreams. But when Hallie meets edgy Macon, she learns what love is really all about.
I feel like Ashley does realize her fiancé is not the man of her dreams. I don't know that I call Macon edgy.
No.
Okay.
Because there's no development. But we'll get into it. But
it was impossible writing the Spiro Tips this week. They gave me fucking nothing with these jackasses. Dave, if you could, give us a rundown of who's in this movie.
Yeah, a few folks in this one. Mandy Moore as Hallie. Her mother, Lydia, is Allison Janney, who's a national treasure.
Sure is.
Trent even Ford as what? You know what? You could argue only good part of this. Maybe
Allison Janney,
Trent Ford plays Macon Forrest. I was trying to like, where do I know him from? Around this time, he did like a 4-episode guest on The West Wing. He played
with Allison Janney
and he played a French guy. I thought he was a real French guy. Okay. So he's good at accents, but terrible.
I don't think
I
made it that far into The West Wing.
This is the end of season 4. You probably. I think you're okay. I mean, okay. You go back into it. Alexandra Holden as Scarlett, Dylan Baker as Steve, Grandma Hallie as that's Nina.
I'm gonna assume it's
Foch.
I'm gonna go with fuck.
Like coke?
I'm going with fuck. Yeah, there we go. Len Martin, played by Peter Gallagher, super cool Peter Gallagher.
Peter Gallagher ever, I think.
We have an Aston citing Mackenzie Aston as Lewis Gibson Washer II. I think that's the sister's fiance.
Yeah, that's the fiance.
Let's see.
I don't think there's anybody else. I think you covered it.
There are a couple ones that I can click on, but no.
For what and for who?
Yeah. Okay.
Let's go around the horn here and give some memories the first time we saw this one. Dana, what do you got?
Over two, well, actually multiple sittings over today, yesterday. So the first time. So first time. First time for everything.
All right, Dave.
This was released by Focus Features internationally, and usually I see all those movies because they're usually all good.
Maybe now. Sorry, but...
this one got past me.
Humble beginnings.
So I saw yesterday. I saw
Called out Focus Features International.
Yeah,
got a turd here, guys.
got a real shit burger. Yeah, I had also never seen this before, so we're all coming in very cold. Never seen it, never heard of it before Dana picked it. So first impression for all of us here. Dave, did it make the grade or should they have held this back?
I can usually tell what a movie's trying to do, and this one I couldn't figure it out. It's just I understand she's supposed to be like unlucky at love and so on. I didn't see enough of that.
Nope. We always are being lucky at love.
We talked about the underdevelopment of the characters. There's one character that we meet for about 8 seconds and something happens. Why? I know. I'm not saying anything else.
No fucking payoff.
A lot of things just pop up and then you think there's supposed to be like a payoff. You're supposed to like feel something and there's just nothing there. And then it kind of fizzles out. And this goes on for a while. Hour 45. It's a long movie too. And there's a whole lot of nothing. Maybe the Allison Janney, Dylan Baker. I'm like, that's kind of cute. But other than that, I'm good. No, thanks.
Yeah. Dana, make the grade for you.
No, yes. This was really, I had heard of this film. I feel like this was like in that thing we're doing, like how to lose a guy in 10 days, uh-huh. How to deal, and there's always like people leaning how on to the train cover your back dragon. train your dragon. How to get along with your mom. I don't know. They're just like,
yeah, the arms crossed back to back was a pose that was, it was having a moment at this time. That's for sure.
So I've heard of it. No, it was really, it wasn't good. It wasn't good. There's too much going on. I don't know. We'll discuss why it has issues, but no, this wasn't good. It did not make the grade. It's a waste of a Janney performance, if I'm being honest.
Yeah. Big old piece of shit. Hold it back. This was another one of these movies that didn't really know what it wanted to be. Like Dave said, started off pretty light, kind of like a light, bubbly summer teen romance, took a hard turn into heavy drama. And then there are some characters that I think are supposed to be funny, but like the tone doesn't support levity. At the end, there's a bunch of dialogue that had me openly and actively groaning as it played out. So like, this is a fucking mess. What a bad movie this was.
It's like you complete.
Oh my God. I was sitting like in my basement by myself, bad. Like, get the fuck bad. Out of here. What are we? No, mm-hmm. Absolutely not. Any fun facts on this one before we jump into the recap and the segments?
It wasn't, I don't know why this was listed on IMDb, and this is the extent of the research I did for this film. I'm going to put redacted so we don't say who passes away, but when redacted dies, another person is wearing a shirt depicting Julius the monkey, who is the mascot of Paul Frank Industries, turning into the Incredible Hulk.
Neat. Okay. I don't give a damn.
No. Who cares? That was a fact. Okay. And then there's also, like, this movie is based on a book, and it's actually based on...
It's two books, I thought.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, two Which separate books.
Yeah.
Where so I thought, like, when I was reading it, I was like, oh, so the character... Like, I thought Hallie was the main character, like, a series. That's It'd be like, what, I oh, she's in the first one. She's the second one. No. It's just two books by the same author that they smash together, which is why...
Why would you do that?
There's not enough plot in just one of the books.
I mean, you hear about, like, producers and writers, like, just snapping stuff together and seeing what sticks, but they got the writer's permission to do that, and I think it may have been a mistake.
Gonna mash up Romeo and Juliet and Othello and call it Romello. Like, what are we doing? Like,
she has too much to deal with. Like, how to deal? Oh, it's too God. Much.
It's for how to deal with much. Seeing a terrible movie. I don't know how.
Drugs, baby. All right, let's jump into the recap and the segments here. Dana, where do you want to get us started?
Okay, I'm gonna start with what I call the plot in quotes. AKA too much shit happens all in about 9 months.
Yeah.
Is all these things happen in like the start of junior year to the end of junior year for Mandy Moore's character of Hallie. Be open with her parents have gotten a divorce, or it's fine. It's finalized.
The day their divorce is finalized, apparently.
Yeah. She also, I didn't include it here, but she got kicked out of camp and that's why she's home early or something. I don't know. I didn't really understand that.
Sure.
That was a real sprinkle where it's like, well, let me just say something because I'm your father.
Because well, there's to camp, like a lot apparently. Of
it's like, ooh, yeah. Who knows? I don't there's know. A lot,
there's shit that happens that you're like, wait, what? And then like someone will just do some like horrible exposition of like, oh, well, this happened and that's why. And you're like, oh, that's why we're all off kilter.
That's why you're off-kilter. Home. Is it summer? When is this? Where are we? What's going on? Exactly. I'm asking a lot of questions. Yeah.
You're just very off kilter at all times. So on the day that her parents' divorce is finalized, her sister gets engaged or has been engaged.
Yeah,
but finally got engaged and finally feels like it's time to tell mom, Alice and Janie that I am engaged on the day that your divorce is finalized.
Yeah.
Okay.
He asked a week ago. I didn't say anything. And
she
now I'm
waited a week
up.
Too. You could have said it 7 days ago and not had it be like on a kind of a bad milestone there. What are you doing?
Wait seven more days. There's no reason to tell your mom on the day her divorce is final. Well, she seems very bitter about, oh, hey, by the way, I'm engaged to get married. Okay, girl, whatever.
I would be so pissed off if my kid got engaged who lives with me and then didn't say shit for a week.
Well, why I have not? Questions about the sister. So,
oh, I've got nothing but questions.
So then we find out dad's engaged because I think he announces it on the radio because dad is some sort of radio DJ.
He's cool, man. He's so cool. The coolest.
Gallagher, man.
Len the Mad Dog.
They tried, but those eyebrows, you can't be cool. No. Those are some crazy eyebrows.
Those eyebrows and that wig they put on him, you can't be cool looking like that.
I think that might have been his hair. He's always had a... He grew it. I think they just combed his forehead.
Good hair, just eyebrows.
I also forgot to mention, like, she finds out her friend, it's maybe a boyfriend, but at least her best friend is having sex. We learn that.
Walks in on him.
She walks in like, look what I...
She stands there. One of these things I'm going to talk about. But just, shake his it's hand. So... Sure.
Right.
It's so weird. So she finds out her... friend is now dating and having sex, I guess, on a regular basis. Comes to term with it. School year starts. Friend's boyfriend dies. We're going to get to it.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about this later, but we're going to get to it. Friend's boyfriend dies. We'll come back to this point, but just
please.
That happens.
God.
We literally jump cut from the funeral where she is standing in the rain while everybody else, like, it's an overhead shot. Everything's raining. People are covering their heads. There's a little bit of a rainbow. Hallie's standing there by herself, just, I guess, experiencing her emotions. Jump cut to a helicopter because dad is helicoptering into his wedding. What a harsh cut. We just watched this sad scene.
Well, he's marrying the traffic woman, right?
I think she does. I have no idea what that is.
I think she does the traffic. No,
oh, chopper four. Okay.
I think there's a part where he's like to what's her name in the traffic copper. And that's like a cute moment there. I'm like, yeah, I think that's why they did it. Yeah.
Okay. But we went from a harsh cut to her standing outside a funeral to boom, chopper over the ocean, landing on the beach, wedding on the radio because her dad is a shock jock. That happens.
Yep.
Then she starts dating a boy, which it winds up being her friend's dead boyfriend's best friend, Macon. They're, you know, having a thing, hanging out. Maybe they're not dating. They're just friends. She wants to keep him in a friend zone because she hates love. She hates relationships, whatever.
Uh-huh.
As she starts seeing this boy, Macon, find out friend's pregnant with a dead kid's baby. I think we are 35 minutes into this film at this point.
Just sprinting through shit.
Then next scene, they're Well, I guess there's a scene she's peeing in a lot of cups, whatever. Next big moment is Alice and Janney meets vending machine guy who we'll talk about, who is, was it Ted Baker? Mom has a boyfriend now. And... So a
Civil War reenactor. Fascinating guy. Interesting.
And we find out she sneaks out to fuck this boyfriend because she doesn't want Hallie to know or something. I don't know. Who cares?
I don't know why she doesn't. We don't talk about it.
Nope. We have, and then for some reason we have to go meet the sister's future in-laws, and we learn that grandma's coming and she's a pothead.
She's the best.
Mom, are you smoking cannabis again?
Best part of the movie, maybe. Second best part.
Probably. Yeah. I didn't hear her say, "Oh man, I've got the munchies."
The cannabis? You smoking the cannabis, mother? I'm like,
yeah. Jesus Christ. I didn't need to. All of her dialogue is terrible.
So this is introduced. Grandma's a pothead. She gets caught hooking up with Macon on the couch. Mom is upset about it. But whatever, they're gonna go to a party anyway. I don't know what happened. But
she sneaks out to go to the party.
Yeah.
They sneaks got caught out.
Macon out. I guess Macon out. That car crash kind of came out of nowhere.
It really did. It sure did.
Mm-hmm.
Car crash. Mm-hmm. So again, parents divorce, sister's getting married, friend's best friend died, dad gets married, friend is pregnant, mom is dating, grandma's a pothead, car crash.
Start act two.
I think I finally get it. People are supposed to relate to this because teenagers think that their lives are so busy and everything's so big and everything's so crazy. And they're watching this movie like, I know how this feels, man.
My life was nothing like this.
Oh, man.
We don't really get any genuine. And that's the thing. So let's do. We have three more things and then we'll get into it. But then they are actually, I should put this in the other order. We find out they're for some reason at dad's house. Not totally clear why, but then like a story comes out that explains it in a second. But when they're at dad's house, new wife is really just like laying it on thick, has been the other time we saw her in the film with Hallie. And it's right after, the sister's engagement falls apart for a second. But then new wife, it basically admits that she forced Hallie and Ashley's dad to leave their mom so that she could marry the dad.
Yes.
This goes uncommented on.
Uh-huh.
Everybody just sits there awkwardly and stares at one another. Not like, what the? No reaction to it. I think that's a huge, I'm sorry, what?
Why would you tell anybody?
I mean, maybe if nothing else had happened in the previous, 5 months of this movie, maybe that would have been the reaction. But she's like, what now? Okay, fine. Great.
Sure.
Let's move on and see what happens next.
Yeah.
So dad was cheating on mom this whole entire time. And the only reason our family broke up is because you forced him to leave our mother so y'all could get married.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm having a problem with that.
It's not good.
So she just drops that line. Phone rings. And apparently their mom has been in Virginia this whole time. That's why they're at the dad's house. Grandma had a fall and they need to get to Virginia immediately.
Mm-hmm.
So that happens.
I don't give a shit.
Where was this wedding? Was this a Virginia Beach wedding? It's a beautiful beach. I don't know anything. I don't know where we are.
I don't know where this film takes place. I don't know. I know it was filmed in Canada. That's all I know. All but I don't know. This...
Yes. The beautiful tropical beaches of Canada. Yes. Great. Yes.
But ultimately, they go to Virginia, see grandma. They have to fly back to wherever they're from. And then when they're at the airport, sister's fiance comes back. They have a not that great reconciliation in the airport. And then they're getting married. And that's sister gets married. And that's
in credits.
Oh, friend has the baby.
Oh, the friend had the baby at the wedding.
Yeah, at the wedding. So all of this happens and we get little to no, like, so this was, let's see, of the big main plot points, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, friend has the baby is 14. We can take grandma as a pothead. It's not a plot point. I just, they threw it in there.
They talk about it a lot.
Yeah. So
she's
if
the
you...
most developed character in the movie.
That's 13 things, minus grandma being a pothead.
Yeah.
If you give 10 minutes, like, this is why we don't, like, all this shit happens and there's little to no reaction to it. Because even if you gave each thing 10 minutes, it's an hour and 30 minutes of a film right there.
Yes.
Correct.
Yes.
Yeah.
Each one of those things could just be its own fucking movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I'm sorry. I think your math is wrong. That's like 2 hours and change, 2 hours and 10. 10 minutes for 13 things, 130
minutes.
You're right,
it's 130 minutes, yes. Sorry,
and that,
I just was like,
a boy dies is one of those things. Like, there is a near-fatal car crash. All these things deserve a lot more attention.
Let's talk about the boy who dies. Let's just jump into that right now. So, did anybody see this coming?
No.
Even when he fell down on the ground, it was like, so like appendicitis, or what's happening here exactly?
Because we see it from far away. They're walking towards them, and this kid's just like, yeah, I'm good.
What, he held his chest, healed his hip when he fell down.
So we could set the scene for the listeners. For some reason, I don't know if it's a real soccer game, a practice. I don't know.
Pennies on. That's practice.
They have pennies on, so it's practice. Shit ton of people are watching practice for reasons I can't explain. They do this in movies all the time, and I'm just like, nobody hangs out and watches your practice.
Zero, like, people would ever come to a practice.
Maybe like one or two people, but the second you start cheering, coaches are like, shut the fuck up and get out. Like, I don't need you distracting my players. I've done it as a coach. I've had coaches do it to my friends. Like, nobody wants that. Like, nobody wants...
We also never practiced in the stadium. You practice on like a practice field outside of the stadium. I never had practice in the stadium.
Depending on your sport, like, if that's the only
stadium,
field
you guys are fancy.
No, it's the only sport. It's the only field you have. Like, we don't have a stadium. Like, field hockey, soccer. Like, you just practice on your field because it's your only option.
Spoiled at Nequa. We had
we had two or maybe three full size practice football fields outside of the stadium with uprights and everything. Yeah.
Okay, sorry. My high school was right on the parkway. And it was like, my field hockey field wasn't even regulation because they squeezed it in at the end, and it was not regulation for decades.
Oh, no.
Decades.
Man, we had
so bad. Now it's all turf and it's fine. So everybody's like watching it practice. He scores a goal. Everybody's cheering, which again, now he's like whooping and hollering. This is why you don't let people watch your practices. He's showboating. All of a sudden, he is taking a bow, grabs his side. And you're right. You're like, oh, appendicitis, maybe, or something. And then he falls to the ground, and everybody's like, what? And they're like standing up, and they look at each other. And it's just like, but no one hasn't been like, oh, something's wrong. No one.
Yeah.
So then everybody rushes around the kid, and they just stand there and watch him die.
And look at him.
Watch him die. The most aid they gave him was one person say, hey, back, give him some air. That was that was their first aid.
I said earlier, we sometimes do a thing like, what would one cell phone change? And I'm like, what would one portable defibrillator and someone who knew CPR change? Because,
you know, honestly, it wouldn't change anything because the kid died in vain. Nothing happened as a result of him dying.
Cardiac arrests happen in malls all the time, and people just died. I'm sure people just stared like, what do we do? Now there's like these machines you can just be like, goosh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Give the person
AEDs.
A gun.
Or they just maybe
somebody
do some compressions, keep things flowing until the paramedics come. But this was like a not insignificant period of time. People just stood and stared.
If he dies, he dies.
It was very Rocky IV. That's exactly what I mean. Correct.
Leg on the ground, motionless.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Learned from the Damar Hamlin situation, time is precious.
Yeah.
And people just fucking stood around.
Time is muscle with the heart. Time is muscle. Don't ever forget that.
They just stood there and watched.
Stood there. Not
like
one person was
mirror.
like dropped down on their knees, trying to pick up nothing.
Die.
Just in a circle because they do an overhead camera shot. And yeah, all you hear is probably like after the fact audio added of, give him some space. Give him some space.
No one even says call 911. Like, no one says call 911.
Notice no one said it must have been all the vaccines he took. That must have been the reason why it happened. No one. But that'd be the first thing if this movie was from 2022.
Yeah.
There'd be a parent's guide. It's like, may have been from the that evil COVID vaccine.
I heard he got his booster last week. A grown up
walking around with an active measles infection, passing judgment on him.
Exactly.
Yeah, so it is just a very wild thing. You do not suspect. And then, well, then since we're talking about, I think his name was Michael Sherwood, this character, if I want to acknowledge him properly. Then we find out moments later, or however, probably 15 minutes later, that Hallie's best friend, who was played by Mandy Moore, her best friend's name is Scarlett. And we find out Scarlett is pregnant.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was enough of a gap.
Blasted away, yeah. That's what
gap. That was like, okay, so by who? Because she found somebody else. With this, is this going to be like a, I don't know which one it was thing or nope? It's just okay.
Maybe she could. Maybe it was somebody else, and she's like, oh no, wait, it was
the no.
Kid who, it was a kid who died.
I think that's him. They're trying to tell you not a lot of time has passed. True. I think that's like they have these weird markers to try to like. Oh, because I guess when they go do dinner at the in-laws' house, it's like Thanksgiving. Oh, we didn't do a turkey. We have squab. There's some stupid thing with a bird.
Yeah, squabs. Yeah.
Now, isn't that pigeon?
Is squab pigeon? Maybe. I mean, the bird wasn't that big. It was Cornish game hen sized. So
we're about to find out here.
Why were they that whole squab? I'm like, it's just another bird that they cook. Just eat it. Like, shut the fuck up. I don't give a shit. Young
domestic pigeon. Who has that instead of a fucking turkey?
Well, wasps eat weird shit.
Rich people. Got it.
Yeah. I also didn't appreciate that the only black character in the movie was the maid in this scene. I'm like, come on. Mm-hmm. I think I didn't notice that, huh? You thought I didn't see that? Mm-hmm. I fucking see it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We brought her with us from Atlanta. I was like,
that's very nice of you.
This grown ass woman.
Yeah. Forced to relocate.
Get it?
Wherever y'all are.
Yeah.
She raised our kids.
You're a working mother?
You have a character named Macon. There's a lot of Georgia.
Macon, Georgia. Macon, Georgia.
Yeah, it was not great. But yeah, so that's Thanksgiving. The friend's already pregnant by this time. The school year started. It was soccer season. So I feel like sometimes you'll see on those shows like 16 and pregnant. I don't know. I've never watched the show. I feel like teens take a longer time to realize that they're pregnant. Because like sometimes their periods aren't regular, they're not like gaining a ton of weight. There's the stress of like
we saw June though. She's just like I don't know.
Well, with 16 and pregnant, it's tough because if you watch episodes of that show, it's as though the producers are like trying to trick you into thinking she's not pregnant. Because like in the beginning, it's this girl will like give a full rundown of. Here's who I am. This is how old I am. This is the school I go to. Here's the activities I like. Here's my boyfriend. But all that has to change because I'm pregnant. And it's like at the end, they have this big reveal. But like, yeah, I know.
What does that mean? I don't know.
Well, they make a big reveal out of it where it's like the camera dramatically pulls out. And you're like, yeah, you're super pregnant, which I know from the title of the show you're on. Like, you'll have to surprise me with it. But it's this felt very much like Farrah Abraham, who's the worst person, but her baby's father died while she was pregnant and she blew their it sounds like they had an awful relationship, but then once he died she retconned the whole thing into being like the sweetest love story known to man. And it's like, no, it sounds like you guys fucking hated each other.
So that's where it's like you're unclear of the timing, but then they do give you like little, there's like seasons changing, they do awkwardly to tell you how much time has passed. But the thing that's weird is like she goes to tell her mom and her mom is like, oh thank god you've told me in time, I guess like we don't, again, at this time we don't know how much time has passed. And then there's that moment where you're like, oh, so she's
this is important. Yeah, it's good.
I feel like we find out way too late that she decided to keep it. And
she's gone for a long time. She's off screen for like a half hour.
Yeah, she drops out of the movie because there's too much going on.
No, I was waiting for the Juno moment where she goes to the clinic and something uncomfortable happens and she leaves. And then we find out, keeping it. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, good to know. We find out in a, again, this is someone just says something offhand. We find out at the New Year's Eve party that precedes the car crash for some rando we've never, I don't know if we've seen her before. This girl, I thought she was Katherine Heigl for a second, goes, so when is Scarlett due? And Mandy Moore's like, I'm sorry, what? And she's so like, did she tell you? Like,
yeah.
Oh, my mom is the accountant at her doctor's office. First of all,
your mom should be out of a job.
HIPAA violation. HIPAA violation. Yeah, we have some issues there. That's not good.
Fire her.
That's not what? Good. So you're like, oh, I guess it's January. Maybe she's, but like, again, we never see that moment where they have a conversation where they decide to keep it and there's a cry. Like, nothing. We don't get any of that. We do get a moment where she's like, I'm going to tell Michael's parents. But they moved to, I forget, she says where they, but the parents just up and moved after their kid died.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Just sure. Like in, what movie was that where they moved?
It's not uncommon.
Died. It was some movie we did where they moved from California, from Chicago to somewhere else when the kid died.
Oh, Disturbing Behavior.
There you go. Yeah. Wrong, kid died. Suicide. Gotta move.
Wrong kid died.
Wrong kid died. Yeah. Gotta move.
I figure out a way to do that movie.
So she can't tell them face to face because they moved again to something they drop in the background. So she says she's going to write them a letter. We never hear of it again. She
nope.
We see her writing the letter, stressing about it.
She sent it Pony Express. It's going to take forever to get there, obviously.
If you take this whole character out of the film, it changes.
She took one of the squabs and tried to carry her pictures.
No, because she's. I don't think she wanted to send a letter. She's like, I don't want them to worry or anything. So I'll send it in a way where I'll feel like I did something and it won't actually get there. But
yeah, send it by auto gyro.
It's her grandkids. She should tell them it's her grandkid.
That's where, like, I don't know if it's like important. A movie or a TV show or real life where I feel like something like this happens and their parent grandparents are like, well, can we just raise it? Like, maybe it was a movie. I swear I've seen something akin to this.
Interesting.
That sounds where they're just, we'll just take
where,
it.
Where yeah. That's the first thing they think of is, you know, raise it.
Well, can we just raise our grandson? Like, right. We lost our son. Can we just take this one? 12 or
whatever.
One?
So
yeah.
Well, she's in high school, so 16, 17. It's like, yeah, you know what? Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Right? Yeah. So it just seemed like, to me, I was very interested in this. We don't really get much. And then
they don't do anything
she
like
just
it.
Happens to be due the same day as the wedding. And is giving birth on the way to the church. Macon picks her up, drives her to the hospital. God. There's a baby.
To a 3-month old baby. Yeah. That was a big baby. That was too old.
I have a question. I have a question for you guys. So I was watching this in the way that Dana has watched movies lately where it's like it's on, but I'm not like focusing on what's happening with it. Did he just leave her in the backseat of the car in labor while he quick ran into the wedding to get Hallie?
Correct. That's exactly what happened.
Okay. Yes. Which I thought happened.
I thought that he was cool and smart and drove her to the hospital and came back and said, hey, come on. We got to go. We got to go back to the hospital.
Like, what are you doing here? Like, why are you here?
It's not even like, it was like a minute. So they are she is on her way to the church. He is on his way to the church. So that means the wedding has not begun.
Right.
As a good wedding guest, let's say the ceremony is at 1 p.m. If you are trying to get there in time to be seated before the processional begins, you should be on your way at 12:30. We have...
Well, if you're 9 months pregnant walking there, you can leave your house at like noon at the latest.
So she goes into labor. He picks her up in the car, leaves her in the car. By the time they get to the church, the wedding is over.
We're at the reception, baby.
Like, he's been in that car for an hour.
She's been in labor for so long by herself in a car.
Right? Because they have to do their processionals. There's probably some readings. This doesn't seem like a quick...
It's in a church. It's a real ceremony. Yeah. However long it is depends on how traditional. But
he doesn't. He doesn't run in and like interrupt bonkers. The ceremony. He like walks in, and like sits in the back and waits for everything to end, and then finds her later on.
Look, they're kissing. They're still at the altar. Like you and me now kissing the bride.
Kissing, but, she's in the back seat for a long time by herself.
At least an hour, and then doesn't even get her mother. Drives away without Scarlett's mom.
Yes, of course.
This wild.
Nuts decision.
Sweet Honda Accord, though. Love it. It's a great car. Awesome. Yeah.
All right. Since we're talking about Ashley's wedding, let's talk about Ashley.
Well, the movie show.
How old is Ashley? I have guesses, but how old?
She is between 19 and 38, I feel like. I don't fucking know. Like,
that's a fine gap. I would say probably very early 20s. 22, 23.
I would guess. Yeah. The way they write her, I would say after college, but like younger than 25.
Yeah. Right.
So they do make a point of saying that at one point, like, Ashley had the benefit of like being an only child and having a sibling, because I think she was 6 when Hallie is born. So homegirl is at most 23 years old.
Yeah. That's right. Too young still.
Living at home, getting married.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know. I guess it's maybe still not, the not time when I people do that. Down,
but this was 03. This wasn't 1803.
Back in my day.
On their own. I mean, yeah. Back in
when you were married at 12. You know,
so that's what I was thinking. There's like the 1890s. There's a spinster living at home, just not doing anything.
25-year-old spinster.
Yeah, you're either getting married or you're staying here and taking care of Papa when he gets the rheumatiz or whatever, right? Is that how people talk?
When he dies of consumption.
Oh, that's another one of the things.
The grip.
Or what do they used to call strokes? There's a really good word.
It was right there for a sec and then it went away. Yeah, I had it for a second.
I'm sure it'll come back.
No, or will it? Or am I having a... No, nothing. Got nothing.
So she's 22, 23. We don't know how she met.
Apoplexy.
That's the one. You did it.
I knew it was going to come to me. Apoplexy.
You're the man. Yes. Sorry.
I feel like apoplexy is what happens to Anthony Hopkins' character in... God.
What movie is happening again. Oh, no.
No, it's the Brad Pitt one. Hold on. It's going to drive me crazy.
In Meet Joe Black?
Not Meet Joe Black. They've been in two films together.
Yeah.
It's the one where they live in Montana and the three brothers are
Legends
all
of the Falls?
Legends of the Falls?
He probably had apoplexy. He probably had apoplexy.
Because he has a stroke and then one side of his... And then he's just like... He does this a lot.
Bell's palsy.
That's how it used to happen in the 1880s. You start talking weird, eventually just can only throw with one arm and then you just kind of fall over one day. That's how it happened.
I'm not trying to be terrible, but it's just like, it's so ingrained in me of this Anthony Hopkins character in Legend of the Fall. And it's just like one half of his body doesn't work because he had a stroke. Not funny, but
it's kind
of
funny.
He's just doing like a... I
have to watch that now.
I'm not watching that.
I'll watch that.
It's a very long film. I highly recommend it. All three of the brothers fall in love with Julia Ormond. It's a great film.
It'd be tough not to. She was nice. She's something. I'm sorry. Continue.
I get it.
Right? I can't even find it. Oh, I think I'm on his producer credits. That's why. Okay. So we don't really understand. I guess we have to assume they met in college, though she never talks about how they met. I'm guessing maybe she met his parents, but her family hasn't met. I didn't understand the whole Thanksgiving thing. I think it was just like another thing to throw on top of it, maybe to plant the seed of them eventually ending their engagement, because the mom's the mom's like the super snooty southern bitch.
Yeah, the mom is like a wasp asshole. It felt to me kind of like if Ashley had met the parents before, it was in passing. It was kind of like maybe at a family event, you were introduced to one another, but it didn't seem like they'd spent any time together.
It felt like first time to me. And I'm like, that's pretty dumb if you're getting married. You should 100% know your family before you're getting involved with someone.
When I proposed to my wife, I had like several inside jokes with both of my in-laws already by that point. You need to spend some time together first. Develop that shit.
Yeah, I don't know if Bill had inside jokes, but he had met my father.
Her parents are around a lot, so.
Jokes. Spaghetti.
Yeah, So there's like, I also think what happens, I think like Ashley starts to get like cold feet because of, I think like some of the stuff that's like going on with her dad and, you know.
And they break up like seven times.
They do.
So yeah.
Well, that's what I was going to mention. The big thing that ends their, or pauses their pending nuptials.
So stupid.
Is one night Hallie comes home. She thinks Megan's on her porch. But it's her sister just drunk ass slumped on the door.
Face down asleep on the porch.
Like lean, but leaning on the front door.
Yeah, and you I see, think like, it's feet on the ground.
Because it's her bachelorette party, which okay. That's fine. You got lit. That's your you were want to do that on your friends can't find your keys, open your front door, put you inside.
Another and then question. Leave? Why wasn't the sister invited to the bachelorette party in the hometown she lives in? Like,
interesting.
Because they probably went to bars and she's 16. She's 16, though.
But do something. Get together beforehand. Like, to have a bachelorette party where your sister lives in the same town and be like, let's not involve her in this at all. It's odd well, that, to me.
Again, there's too much going on to show us, to give us a scene where, like, Hallie was at dinner with them and then was like, okay, guys, I'm going to see you later because I'm 16 years old.
Yeah, that's all I needed. But for her to come home from, like, her own event and be like, oh, like, yeah, that's right. My sister had a bachelorette party tonight. That's weird. And I'm just like,
I don't think she was coming home. I don't think she was coming home from her own event. It was she was back at the dam throwing rocks into the dam because she was mad at Macon for deserting her after the car crash. Yeah. So she wasn't at her own event.
That's true.
And then it bursts. She broke it. She broke the dam.
At the spillway, yeah.
Oh, God.
Oh, the sexy kiss in front of the spillway spewing water.
Sploosh everywhere.
So good, yeah.
First kiss, came in the room. Sploosh
city.
So maybe that was the illusion
it was a metaphor they were going for.
I thought it was a trespass alarm. It's like, no, it's just to tell you to not be downriver. You should be careful.
Yeah. Bill was in the room when that scene happened. He's like, they're gonna die.
Yeah,
he's like, I was just watching.
I'm like, you need to run.
No, when they open those gates, there's some water level difficulties. Yeah, get the fuck away from there.
The water was already churning beneath them and they kept shooting them from overhead and she was dancing like an idiot. I was like, oh my God, she's going to fall in the fucking water and die.
I wish.
But yeah, so yeah, that was the sister. I didn't really get it. Again, I think the biggest thing this movie, I don't know. It just didn't make sense. It's so confusing.
Such a mess.
So then, okay, thinking about other things we want to cover. As you could tell, I have no desire to talk about Hallie and Macon because there's no reason to care about them. I will say, like, Macon winds up having to, like, apologize to her and do these grand gestures. But I'm going to say he didn't owe her any apology. She keeps saying they're just friends. She keeps pushing them away. Keeps saying, like, I don't believe in love. I don't want to do this. He tries to tell her, so like after the car crash he leaves her at the hospital and then like disappears for a week. Okay, that's kind of shitty, but he tries to explain it to say, I thought it would be better, you would take less heat from your mother if I wasn't there, and then also my best friend just died and I thought I had killed that's you better. Too
Well, I mean, listen, this whole car crash, it's all a mess because like the way that she described it was almost like she woke up in the car and he was gone. Like he didn't take her to the hospital. He just abandoned her in the wrecked car and like left. I understand like not wanting to be there right when her mom gets there. Cause her mom just found you like about to bang her daughter on the communal couch.
Yeah.
But to not contact her at all for a week and then to pop up at school, like, hey, he wasn't even like, hey, listen, I gotta talk to you. He acted like nothing had happened when he first saw her. And I'm like, well, that's not the move.
I think it's because the writing in this film is bad. And I remember atrocious. That scene. Oh, I was like, what the? Who says that? And he also, oh God, it was just also terrible. But I think like, again, she winds up getting like so mad at him. And I'm like, you've been pushing him away. You don't believe in love. You don't believe in relationships. You don't want to be with him. So then he's not with you. Again, the car crash thing, he didn't abandon her. He made sure she got to the hospital. She got proper medical care. He left, and then he was going through his own shit because again, his best friend died, and then he gets in a car accident with you. He's probably dealing with his own trauma.
And we should point out, before the car crash, they're at the party. They're in bed, making out. I was convinced they were getting ready to bone. Then for no reason and with no explanation, she's like stops, pushes him away, and then runs out into the wilderness. This is a New Year's Eve party. There's snow on the ground. She is in a camisole top, and that's it. I'm just like,
she's by this your shoes
jacket.
At this point in the movie, I was half paying attention. I'm like, did she just run out? Were in a cabin in the woods somewhere? They're in a cabin.
Yeah.
She's running, not wearing enough clothes. It's cold in Virginia.
She might have been barefoot.
Or wherever they are. I don't know where they are.
Again, so, there's Canada. Visible snow on the ground in Canada.
They're in Canada.
Toronto.
They're in Virginia, BC, Canada. That's good.
Yeah, that's Virginia, like, Saskatoon.
She runs away. They wind up back in the car. So he ultimately left the party to come find you, rings your coat because she has her coat back on.
Mm-hmm.
And then again, you're pushing him away. I don't know. I just felt like she was a huge pain in the ass. It's everybody else's fault. She hates. And I was just like, I don't care. I do not care about. I care about learning more about everybody else in this film, except for this character.
I want the Janny cut. Give me the cut where Allison Janney's the main character.
Oh my God. Her scene in the movie where they're doing those like dating videos film.
It was so good. Was it
a Janny rant?
Oh.
And I was like, so wine. Good. Oh, yeah. Keep talking. I want to listen to you talk. This is great.
Just rattling off insults. It was delightful.
Tremendous work. Totally Janny. It was great.
Well, now that we're here, we can talk about Janny. Look at me. Weaving threads here. So Allison Janney has a boyfriend in this film. And how she meets this man, I guess a boyfriend. I don't know. There's a lot going on. They are trying on bridesmaids' dresses. And, well, not like... Mandy Moore's trying on a bridesmaid's dress. Allison Janney's trying on like a mother of the bride dress. And she's like, oh, I look terrible. I look ugly. And they're like, well, we can fix it. And she's like, the problem's not the dress.
She doesn't.
Doesn't
look bad. No, the Mandy Moore dress was bad.
Mandy Moore was bad. And the sister was like, how dare you say it's bad?
They added shoulder pads to it for no reason. I'm like, let's just take that part off and look at, which is exactly what they did later when they tried it on again. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They just didn't have the stupid shoulder pad part. So they're like, we'll just make this dress and then we'll add something stupid to it and then make it cool later. That was dumb. Yeah. But
also, exactly what happened. Why is Janny in a frumpy, gross mother of the bride dress? That is a 6 foot tall goddess. Mm. Give her something to look snatched in. I just, again, 2003, it just didn't make, I was like, no, the problem is the dress, Janny, but that's not the character.
I'm not conceding she looked bad either, so.
I don't think so either.
She looked fine, but she's basically wearing one of those Great Depression flower sack dresses. Like, we have no fabric, so we made you a dress out of a sack of flour. Just like, it looks terrible.
We had no elastic. We had no thread to cinch you in. It was
akin to the Pretty in Pink dress, just like a square box.
Really bad. Yeah. So she's like, I need a change. So she goes, Ashley, take your sister home. I got to get back to work, whatever. She walks out of the mall. She's trying to get a soda, has a fight with a vending machine. But then up comes the Coca-Cola vending machine attendant. I don't know what the hell that job is.
Repairman, maintenance man.
Hey. We don't know. Maybe he owns the machine and he's just hands on and he does everything for them.
Again,
We don't know.
We know nothing.
He could own Coca-Cola and we wouldn't know.
Yeah. Wouldn't know because they don't tell us. Shows comes up to her. She's fighting with the machine, dressed in some sort of war regalia. We'll get to what it is. Dave already mentioned it, but we're just going to and offers to help get her a Coke. They hit it off, are smiling at each other. Okay, no offense to the gentleman playing this man. I think he said his name. Was it Dylan Baker? We all know Dylan Baker. He's been around for forever. There's some movie he's in that his like skin and teeth start to fall out. I can't remember what movie it was, but it really sticks with me from when I was a kid. So Dylan Baker to me.
He's played some interesting characters. Played some very interesting characters.
He's kind of a weird guy.
He's hard to look at.
I from this one film, it really, I'll try to remember what it was. But I'm just saying, like, could we have gotten Janny just she was married to Peter Gallagher, who without, not in this movie, but in other movies, Handsome fella.
My thing, I know this actor. And when I remember reading the book Holes in middle school, the author describes somebody's lips as worm-like. Every time I see this actor, I'm like, okay, those lips are worm-like. He's weird fucking lips. I'm like, I can't look at you as like an attractive leading man with those worm lips. Fucking Nightcrawler's up there, man. It's a weird fucking mouth. And it just...
Danny
deserved better.
Yeah. The movie is delirious. It's a John Candy movie where he's like a...
Oh, I know that author. Movie. Yeah. I loved Delirious when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. Weird stuff happens to him, like, to him during it.
He's like a Candy fever dream.
Yes. Great. It was a wild film. I don't know if it's great. I haven't seen it in forever.
It is not great. 100% not great.
So again, this is how we meet Dylan Baker, the love interest. They shake hands, exchange names. I don't think we ever hear this man's name mentioned for another 20 or 30 minutes.
Right.
Then he just, I forget what scene preceded it. And I could try to find it. But again, out of nowhere, there's a lot of stuff that happens in this movie where like you're just like jolted into another world. He is frantically walking through what we come to realize is Janny's work. We've never been told what Janny does. We've never seen them exchange contact information. He comes barging into Janny's work with like 24 roses and lilies of some sort going.
And she is shocked because she never gave him that information. How the fuck do you know where I work?
Creep energy.
Yes. Yes.
Just shows up at her office and said, I can't get you out of my mind. I was like, well, first of all, sir, who let you in here? How did you know where to find me?
Scooch man. Who are you?
Security. Anybody?
Come get him, please.
Yeah, and she goes, oh, I didn't. I think she makes some mention of like, oh, I didn't recognize you without your costume. And he goes, oh, I'm a Civil War reenactor.
Mm-hmm. Well, at least he was in blue instead of gray.
Still not okay.
I was gonna say he's at least he's on the right side, but a lot of those folks have some interesting views about life and the war and
something about civility and something or other. I was just like, where's the red flag? Which one threw you guys off most?
A lot of those folks call it the War of Northern Aggression for some reason.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's not the Civil War, it's the war between the states.
Yeah, as soon as I hear that, I'm a lot like, of that. You lost me. I'm sorry.
The War of Northern Aggression is a specific way to title that.
I was like, the I've heard spun that way is like, I think in Vietnam they call it the War of American Aggression. Like they don't call it the Vietnam War. American it's aggression. Like American aggression. Y'all motherfuckers.
There's a whole museum in was it Ho Chi Minh City?
I've been there. Yeah. It's depressing.
It's the museum of American aggression, whatever it's called.
Yeah. It's tough. Yeah. It's a tough one.
We were the bad guys for a very long time. We said we were.
Homeboy is a Civil War reenactor. I think they go on a date, and the date consists of them just sitting at a table in a restaurant, holding up glasses of wine and smiling at each other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because they want to do this. They want to get to it. They want to get to it. Bam, bam, bam. Yes. Yeah,
you didn't see Dave was frantically slapping his hands together. They want to fuck.
I didn't want to make like a weird, gross noise.
Yeah, we don't need to
bam, 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 bam.
Nasty bam, sound.
Bam, 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 bam.
But that's all we see of the date. Then it's alluded to the fact that she sneaks out on Friday nights to go have sex with, I think his name is Steve. The Civil War guy. So that way Hallie doesn't know. But we never see Steve again. He's not at the wedding. He's not.
No.
That's it.
He's there for no reason. I think it's. I was going to ask you guys, is it weirder to see one Civil War reenactor in uniform or like a whole bunch together? Because to me, the fact that he was alone and there were no others near him, I'm like,
Well, that's also the thing. He was in his garb servicing that Coca-Cola. Are you cutting out of work early? You're wearing your costume to work? What is happening here?
It might be his regular clothes. I just watched Breaking 2 Electric Boogaloo. And there is a moment where Boogaloo Shrimp Turbo is legit walking around like a marching band jacket for no explanation. Just has it on as like a fashion statement. Maybe he just dresses like this.
Those guys are stylish.
He looked ridiculous.
Maybe he wears
this hat and this I don't fucking know.
Apparently this movie's got something to do with Virginia. Maybe this is something that's very common to wear this.
Old Dominion, yeah.
I don't think they're in Virginia. They're not in Atlanta because they moved. They're out of Georgia because they moved that black lady. That lady.
Virginia, Oregon, not in Virginia. Canada, Southern California beach. There's a lot of weird things. A lot of weird places.
It doesn't make any sense. No. So yeah, he is, and we know she has to get back to work. So it's a weekday middle. Where are you reenacting a war on a weekday?
On a Wednesday at 2 p.m.
Mm. Run, Allison Janney, run away.
He's a sentient red flag. You gotta run.
Yes, it did not make any sense.
What is warm lips?
It wasn't great. It wasn't great. No,
it's bad.
As I said, the Mandy Moore Macon thing, easily the least interesting part of this film. I truly do not care about it. I think we kind of talked about where like the film didn't understand its tone. The score is very weird at certain points. And it's like TGIF sitcom level, like bloop, 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 bloop. It's like that jazzy.
Silly music.
TGIF. Well, yeah.
It's like it's if you would lay this night, under Family Matters.
The mood is right. Ooh, TGIF. Like it felt frivolous is probably the best way to put it.
I was just like, what? And so like it doesn't understand. And then also like I feel like it wasn't sure. I think I didn't put this in the notes, but I wrote it down in mine. Was like it was almost unclear on the tone. Cause there would be these like weird moments where they'd hold on something ridiculous, or someone's supposed to be reacting to something and they're not reacting. Like there's that moment where for some reason, Ashley's future in-laws, just their dog just starts humping Janny's leg, and we take long pause to watch it. We've never seen this dog before. It's not a running joke in the film. It's just who. Look at this dog.
Waka waka.
You know, like, and it's like there's other examples, but
there's
it's just
a
like,
lot. There's moments like these weird, where that happens.
Zany Grant, they're like, oh, you can't go in that bathroom. Grandma's getting ready. She goes in. Grandma's smoking a doob.
Grandma gives sage advice, then goes, oh, I really got the munchies. Like,
yucky.
Who's this for? Who was that joke written for?
This was her last film role. This is her last film role. She passed away after this. So sad.
Damn it, Dave.
It was.
When
we were making fun of her name earlier, I was like, "Who?"
I was going to bring it. Well, that's you're a public figure. I'm going to make
old folks die.
Yeah, sorry, but yeah, it's sad.
But and there are other moments of this, and now I can't think of it. But there's just like all this like weird. And there's like weird things that like they're shown as callbacks, but they're never introduced. So you're like, I don't care. I don't like she gives this whole speech about like, quote unquote, what she hates about Macon. And she's listing all these things about him. I was like, I've never once seen any of this happen before.
This was the first moment I groaned out loud.
Was that like, in the hospital?
I hate you.
When they, when they were talking back
was
and
it
forth?
The hospital?
It was a different. Yeah. Oh.
I hate you. I hate that when you're mad, you get really quiet and. When you think you wrinkle up your nose, and I'm like, no, fucking stop. Fucking stop this.
Terrible.
I'm like, we're really gonna do this. We're really gonna give the whole like it's literally the 10 things I hate about you poem. And I'm just like, stop. What the fuck are we doing?
Not Mandy Moore? Anywhere near. Yeah. That was Julie Stiles' best work. 10 things I hate about you.
Well, yes. If this was Mandy Moore from This Is Us, been a much better monologue. She got better
that
as an
was
actress.
Julia Stiles' early days. She hit her apex, and it's all been interesting ever since.
Fell off a goddamn cliff right away.
She was in those Bourne films. She does that whole speech about like you bite your lip, and I was like, when have we ever seen you like comment
not
on this or someone else comment
once.
On it?
Not ever.
And like the big thing that like there is that running thing where like Macan does Jedi mind tricks on people where he just like tells them what they're gonna do. So that's what she starts doing at the end. But I was like, it wasn't cute when Macan was doing it. I don't like it now.
No, at best it's manipulative. Like, yes. It's not a cute thing you're doing.
No, don't, that's creepy.
I don't like it. I don't like it. It's terrible.
And that's why I couldn't decide, like, obviously Mandy Moore, she's, you know, coming off of being like a musician, but like, is Trent Ford a good actor? No. I thought I was gonna pull up his IMDb and he'd be like,
other than accents, he plays that French kid on the West Wing and he did a great job because I believed he was a French kid. But no, not particularly good.
He was not good. I feel like that's a large part of it. Like, they didn't have any chemistry. And none. I didn't care. So it was very awkward. Because like a lot of Trent it is just like
Ford. Trent Ford. See, actor like model. Just... Of course. Actor yeah. model. Just based on his hair. Hang on.
They had the same haircut. Yeah. So that was
they
weird.
Do and it was distracting.
Nah, it was a little weird.
But, and they set it up that Mandy Moore cuts her hair off as like an act of rebellion against her dad because her dad looks like having long hair. Which, okay, cool. That was a year ago. And you have gone back to this stylist to get that same cut a dozen times since then.
No, it hasn't been a year. That was the opening of the film. We're only like 8 months after that. But yeah, she has to go back to get that. It's been
long enough to keep on going back.
And hey. The thing I think is so silly about it, cutting her hair actually gave her the same haircut as her dad. So I was exact like, okay, girl. Same.
Very go weird. Off.
You I like go it, full though. Lori Petty and shave your head if that's what you're going to fucking do.
No, I like it. Especially the movie poster that's on Wikipedia.
Oh, the
like,
poster is.
It's a good God. Look. It's a good, I like it. I like it.
No, as someone with short hair, I get Lisa it. But it was just kind of like. Well, it's also Mandy Moore cut her hair because she thought it'd be more in keeping with the character. The studio wasn't happy about it. So that's why she has those horrible extensions for the first like 20 minutes.
I didn't notice them, but I. Okay.
Well,
I was working while watching this. So
then that will be my last comment. It's a song, we're talking about Mandy Moore.
The song that I think about this.
Singing.
I don't know why. Whenever I think about movies like this,
it's
Liz
Phair.
No,
it's
fucking 20 years ago.
Whenever I hear about the early 2000s and movies like this, I'm like, why can't I see? This just feels like it fits into all the. It just fits in these movies. I don't know why. It just does.
It felt so loud when they finally played it in this movie, too.
Yeah.
Like they turned the volume up to really hit that musical thing.
The way you bite your lip, I fucking hate it. You fuck.
That's not the song that was playing at that point. So, that was playing. Liz Phair was playing over there, falling. That's like their dating montage.
I wrote down this montage was terrible. In my notes, I'm like, this is a bad montage.
They
did put that Billy S. song in the movie. Do you guys remember that song?
The Billy Shakespeare one? Yeah, it opened the film. First day of school.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
It's also
so bad.
Taking that flaming
and Malvolio or whatever. I'm like, this is great. We're learning a lot.
But they just dropped that like flaming lip song in at the funeral to be like, he loved this. He loved basketball and he loved this song.
Flaming lips.
Do you realize
that's fuck off.
That was where the funeral ended because that song is still playing when they're outside and it's raining.
That album, like in the early 2000s, was huge.
You better play me Yoshimi versus the Pink Robots or nothing. That's all I want to hear out of you guys.
In karate.
that song is among my favorites. You don't believe me. I'm listening to that when I finish recording this. It's so fucking good.
The way that they did it in this movie, I'm like, really?
Shoehorned it right in there.
It wasn't great. They're like, we got this flaming lip song. How could we use it? Funeral.
Baby.
Oh, that one too.
Versions. We paid for two versions.
Of Wild World.
Yeah, that's something. That was good.
I think I just watched it in a different show.
Good for them.
Is it on Shrinking that they use that song? Maybe.
There's so many shows on Apple that I want to watch and I can't.
So much money spent on music on Apple TV shows that I'm guessing yes. And it's probably the original Cat Stevens version.
Yeah,
maybe certainly,
they
got him to
do a brand new version of it. They paid him like an extra $2 million for it.
They spent what's his name? Yusuf something or other now?
Yusuf Islam.
Yusuf Islam. There you go. Since we're talking about music, I wrote at the top of my notes, literally the first thing I wrote when this film starts, there better be a Mandy Moore song on the soundtrack.
Oh, is there one? No, I didn't. Oh, that's such an insult. So no, I looked up when Candy came out, because in my mind that was so not long before. That was 99. She's 4 years into her career at this point.
Show me who you are, baby.
I mean,
can someone tell me another Mandy Moore song? That's the only song.
There's probably other ones. But she did. Was that Pennies in My Pocket? Was that her? Nothing but pain is in my pocket. Nothing but faith to keep me warm.
That doesn't sound good. How much for your love?
Nope. I'm going to look it up. Before. I'm going to find out.
Just making shit up. But yeah, so I even... That's not what I would make up. I do very little... It better be on IMDb. Well, mainly today.
It is Mandy Moore. Pennies in my pocket.
Okay.
I've literally never heard that song
before.
Nothing
but pennies in my pocket. Really? You don't know that one? It's not...
No.
It's not good, no. But it's a song.
If it's not candy, I don't know what it is. They should have put that charted. Song in the movie somehow. They should add a part where she was eating candy and just have that the song Candy playing.
With a VW bug in the background. I feel like
Lohan got a song in every one of her movies. You can't. Maybe Mandy Moore was like, when I act, I act. When I sing, I sing.
Well, she acts and sings in This Is Us. I thought Pennies in My Pocket peaked at number two in the charts. It was the bubbling under Hot 100 at number two. So 102. I think it made it to 37 on the top 40.
Never heard of that song. When did the song come out? Never heard of it.
I don't know. 35,000 units in Australia. It came out in 2001. I don't know. It was her second album. That was the name of the album.
Speaking of Australia, everyone, it's your favorite.
She also had a crush on that album.
Yeah, crush.
In my pocket,
a little crush. Yeah, that one too.
Crush. Someone did a cover of that.
I think that's her.
No, I don't think that's her.
Is that a different crush?
It can't be the same. It can't be the same.
Oh no.
Crush.
Okay, well that's
just a little bit crush.
That's like I think. But I
believe you.
But yeah, Pennies in My Pocket was definitely a thing. That's
I got pennies in my pocket.
Nope.
That's not the same song. Sorry.
No.
Okay. Song of the Summer 2018.
Yeah. Oh, God. Dana, rescue us, please.
We've gone off the rails.
Oh, I think it's a Jennifer Page song, the crush that we were singing.
Yes.
That was
a B96, like 95, 96, 97.
Yeah, it's with that backtrack of Love Fool.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I love
the Cadigans.
I had that album. Very good cover of Iron Man on that. Surprisingly good.
Okay.
That's really all I had. This movie was wild.
Bare fucking bones. A lot in it, and nothing gets the attention that it needs. So like, but what about get shit.
Weird, no music, dancing at the end. Just them going, looking back and forth at each other.
I wish the viewers could tell how many times I looked up at my screen thinking, okay, so the credits are starting now, right? And I'm like, no, they're still just dancing around. Okay, so the credits now, right? And no credits yet.
Is it a voiceover or is there music playing, but they're not dancing to that music?
I think a lot of times it's like, at least when like you see like a party scene in a film, there's no music playing. So that's why if you look at the people, they're like
all on different
everybody's
beats.
On like a different
they're all on different beats.
I believe Robert Palmer there was no music playing, because when Mandy Moore has to dance on the dam, she is not dancing to that Howling Wolf song that's being played.
She's barely dancing at all.
Yeah, she's doing the same dancing at the end of the film. I was too busy maybe looking on Twitter, writing notes, doing anything but watching the screen, and I was just like, it looks like the shot from earlier. I can't. I must avert my eyes.
It is rough, but one of the things we like doing on this pod is taking a look at a minor character to see if this movie was the start of big things or the peak of their whole career. So it's time for an IMDb deep dive. Dana, who are you going to dive on this week?
Okay, this is tough because there aren't that many like teens or young people in this film.
Small cast in general.
Yeah, I thought about maybe trying to do... We've seen Alexandra Holden in other films, so I can't count her. She's been at least...
This
like,
is her third time, I think. She's almost one of the five timers for us. Gonna get her a jacket.
Yeah.
Sugar and Spice. Drop Dead Gorge.
That's right.
Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah, she's been around. She's been around. I thought Trent Ford would be... So, no. But there's this one girl that's the girl who I thought was Elizabeth Heigl. Her name was... Charlotte Elizabeth Sullivan. Heigl.
Catherine Heigl?
Catherine Heigl.
Is there an Elizabeth Heigl too?
No. I think her character is named Elizabeth something. So that's why I got confused. So yeah, I thought she was Catherine. Yeah, she plays Elizabeth Gunderson, who's just like meant to be a bitch. She just pops around to just say like really... She's the one, oh, my mom's the accountant at her doctor's office.
She was also mean about the dress that she wore to her dead boyfriend's funeral.
I know. They're like...
What a slut to wear that dress.
Like, were they even together?
Right. What
the, okay. So I had never seen this woman before. I didn't think I'd seen her since. But to my surprise, she's still working all the time.
I know who she is.
Oh, what do you know her from, Dave?
You'll get to it. I'm not going to give it away now, but go ahead. Sorry.
Who that is.
Sorry.
Okay. So this movie came out in 2003. So I was expecting like maybe one or two credits prior to 2003. Boy, am I wrong. She had been working since like 95, probably has about 12, 15 credits. I think she just plays a lot of kid roles. And she was like Harriet the Spy. She was Marion Hawthorne, a film I've never seen. The Legend of Gator Face. She's in Goosebumps. Kung Gator Fu, Face. The Legend Continues. When Innocence is Lost, TV movie. The new Ghostwriter Mysteries. That's a TV show.
They made a new Ghost Rider mystery?
Yep.
Yes.
The famous Jet Jackson. She's on that show.
Oh, rest in peace, Jet Jackson.
Oh, yeah. Are You Afraid of the Dark? She's
The best.
My Sister's Secret Life. Again, all these things I have truly never heard of. Then she's in Had a Deal. So that's I called out a couple of them. There's probably about five or six more I didn't call out. Yeah, and she just has little bit parts. She was in a spin instructor in Fever Pitch. She's, again, in a lot of shit I've never heard of. She was on Smallville as Maxima. Trent Ford was also on Smallville, so Superman series, keeping people working.
Interesting.
Okay. A lot more shit I have truly never heard of. She played Marilyn Monroe on the Kennedys TV show in 2011.
That was the one that they were like, oh, it's from that right-wing producer from 24. Oh. It'll shit on the Kennedys. And it kind of did, but it was also...
Is that the one that Rob Lowe plays like Robert Kennedy or Ted? Or
He'd be much more of a Robert than a Ted.
Yeah. No, it's...
Brian Dennehy as Ted Kennedy.
Greg Kinnear, like, Barry Pepper, and Katie Holmes.
It was a lot of...
I am era, so, no longer illiterate.
So on and so forth, yeah.
She was on The Colony, which is a show I've heard of but did not watch. She was on Blue Bloods. Rookie Blue, the webisodes. So Rookie Blue's web series. And on Real Rookie Blue.
Shit.
Sorry, she was also on The Real Rookie Blue for 74 episodes, so she's probably a cast member.
Yeah, that's probably the female lead at that point.
No, I don't think... Oh, she was on Chicago Fire. That's, you know, the whole Wednesday for Dick Wolf, Chicago Fire, PD, and Hospital. I don't know what it's called.
And not a single Chicago accent to be found on those shows.
We can't.
Not a flat A in sight.
You know, I just need one cap to sound like this, and it's too much days.
What do you want, Dennis Farina to pop up? We can't have
that. I would love Dennis Farina to pop up.
Actually, yes. I'm sorry to say.
Adam Pally has a great Chicago accent when he wants to do it. Put him in there.
I need like a 58-year-old guy... Fat, like balding. Hey, let me tell you, I'm gonna get some sausage and peppers over here, but we'll also solve a crime or two. You know, hey, don't over here. Doing good.
They go to Al's Beef and then go to the Bears game. Give you that.
I'll be real sleepy, but we'll still go. We'll still make it to the game. You know,
Al's Beef before the Bears.
Yeah,
you're going to sleep.
Okay, she's still working to this day. She was on Law and Order, Organized Crime.
That's where I know her from.
Pretty Hard Cases, and So Help Me Todd. And that's still 2023.
So, she has a recurring role on Organized Crime. She might be coming back. I think she plays a
Gina Cappelletti.
Okay. Yeah, who she works with Stabler in the Organized Crime unit every so often. So
may I call, since we're talking about accents, I do want to, she'll never hear this, but I just wanted to call it out. If people watch Abbott Elementary, I think you have to give credit to Lisa Ann Walter.
It's perfect.
Who is doing a magnificent Philly accent, one of the only people in the show doing it, and that's not how she really talks, and she is nailing it.
It's really good.
It's so subtle, it's so perfect. It's the long O's when you shouldn't expect them. There's L's where there shouldn't be. It's delightful. Lisa Ann Walter, say, my queen.
There are some very specific regional accents in America. Philly, Pennsylvania in general, because Philly and Pittsburgh both.
Go get some water.
What are you guys doing? Have you seen that video of the guys, the Baltimore accent?
Yeah.
There's where it's like reading Aaron earned an iron urn. And it's just earn. He pauses. He's like, oh my God, do you really talk like that?
Oh. Like, oh.
Aaron earned an iron urn.
There's something about.
Do you really talk like that?
That little part, not Pittsburgh, but like Philly, Baltimore, and like,
oh, it's weird. The mid-Atlantic accent gets weird when you get up that area.
It gets real weird. But Lisa Ann Walter doing a great job with that Philly accent. It's so subtle. It's not Kate Winslet being mayor of Easttown, which was very good. That was another great one.
Not as cartoonish.
Lisa Ann's is like very subtle, and you like don't even realize it at first. And I thought she was from Philly, and then I heard her talk on another show, and I was like,
oh, it's not your voice
she's
at all.
She's doing an accent.
It's like hearing Idris Elba for the first time with his real voice. Like, oh shit, that's what you're talking like? I'll be damned.
Stringer Bell is British?
Right?
Shut the fuck up.
I'll be damned. Sure is. I will be damned. So that does bring us to the end of this episode. And just like the end of the school year, that means it's time to add some superlatives. All right, so like I said, it's fucking hard this week. They gave me nothing to go off of here, so bear with me. Scarlett is most likely to portray her 2-month bang session with Michael as the greatest love story in the history of man. Macon is most likely to call himself a pickup artist because he has all those Jedi mind tricks. And Hallie is most likely to think a monologue can fix any situation because in this movie it fucking did. Mm-hmm. This next movie is Dave's pick. Dave, what are we going to watch next?
I'm skipping over this one a lot. I've decided to just say, fuck it. We're going to do it. One of my favorites, one of my favorite actors, bit of a callback, older movie from 1989, Morgan Freeman. Lean on me. We're going to do it. It's going to happen.
They call me the Batman.
They call me the Batman because he has a bat. And that's why he calls himself the Batman. It's just... seen it so many, watched it for school once.
Watched it for school too. Sociology, I think.
Had a VHS tape of it, and I think it's good, and we'll see if it's still good. Excited to talk about it.
Mr. Clark!
Oh, Miss Clark. Come on, Mr. Clark. What's going on?
I will point out
the way she says it, the high pitched squeaky voice. Mr. Clark. Yeah.
Mr. Clark don't play. I'm like, you're right. Mr. Clark does not play. Correct. He does not mess around.
A mid-aughts rapper named Young Dro, who was like the
Watching Lean On Me.
Yes.
Is that him?
Yes, because Young Dro was like T.I.'s, like the guy that T.I. tried to bring on the way that Jay-Z tried to bring on Memphis Bleak for 90 years, never fucking caught on. There, if you listen to the Young Dro album that came out around that time, there's like 85 Lean On Me references. Like love riding down the street and love watching Lean On Me, something that he puts in one of his songs. I'm not Joe Clark, so I'd hate for you to lean on my shoulder. Like he has a lot of references to that specific movie. I think every song has one reference to Lean On Me on that album. It's fucking weird.
Yeah. Robert DMA, Lynn Thigpen, Guillaume. And Lynn Thigpen, who was chief on the Carmen Sandiego TV show, if you guys watch it on
Rockapella.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. So
it's gonna be great.
It is good stuff. It's fun movie. Yeah,
that's gonna be fun.
The subject matter,
but dark, but a good movie.
It's still a good movie.
I think the guy that he's based on passed away like a year or two ago.
Probably. Well, Dave will tell us all about it, I'm sure.
Oh yeah.
Sure.
Not the Batman. Not the Batman. Okay.
Guys, that does it for this week's episode. If you like what you heard, be sure to subscribe, rate, and leave us a 5-star review. You can also follow us on Twitter and Instagram at RecappingGownPod. That is RecappingGownPod. And join our Facebook group, the Recapping Gown Fan Club. We'll keep the discussion going in there all week. If you guys have any opinions or memories of this movie, which I'd be shocked if you did, we'd love for you to jump in less than what you think. But if you didn't like what you heard, to quote Hallie, I'm not really in the mood to wait for you to grow up. Take it easy, millennials. We'll see you next week.